Powered by Rep Media in partnership with TSN, it is Season 5, Episode 53 of the
53.
Rain Breaks Hockey Podcast. Yes! Presented by our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, Ray, who introduced the first release of the Canadian Club Invitation Series, a delicious CC 15-year-old cherry cask. All the hallmarks of classic Canadian Club with the added richness and sweetness of sherry. And it's a long weekend, as we know, which is why we kind of extended into Friday here. We've got Sam Reinhart of the Florida Panthers, who's had a busy
50
week.
Goals.
This guy's scoring 50-plus now. He's agreed to join us. So, you know what? We had to just push from Thursday to Friday, which is fine. But with Holly away, she's in BC, which, by the way, I'm heading to Kelowna in the morning, Saturday morning. It's been a few days there. My son Mason and I decided, okay, we're going to celebrate the long weekend Thursday night. And you know how we celebrate in this house, right?
Oh, what's on the smoker?
I had the pit boss going. We actually did two versions of flattened chicken. So we did the dry rub on the pit boss. So first, I pan seared it in a cast iron frying pan. You know, got the skin nice and crispy. Then threw one version of the flattened chicken in the pit boss. A little hotter, though, a little hotter, around 300 degrees, because you want to cook and smoke at the same time. And then the other version, same thing, pan seared, went on to the barbecue, indirect heat with a Carolina barbecue sauce, and it was delicious. Brussels sprouts on the side,
you know,
smashed taters.
Delicious. I get a question here. As you're going through that, it just sounds like so much work.
It can be, but you got to like the work.
Okay,
right?
So then I'm out. I'll just come over and eat it. How's that?
Yeah. You know, I'll have a cold beverage, maybe a glass of wine, something along those lines. A little CC on the rocks. That's more of an after-dinner sipper for me, but anyway.
Yeah, beautiful. I mean, I'm glad you guys enjoyed it, but that just seems like a whole heck of a lot of work for me.
Well, and it was a lot of consumption. Who's kidding? Who had the meat sweats by about 8:30 Eastern?
That's no good.
That was not great, but we powered through.
Well, I met Cammy and the kids in Chicago. I had a game Saturday in New York. We met in Chicago, drove to Wisconsin, got to see my brother-in-law Tony for 3 or 4 days, and great to see him. He's doing really well. He looks good. He's but he's going through the thing, and we're really happy to see him. And then they went on to visit her parents and family in Chicago, and I had to come back to the Canucks game last night. So I had the rarity of a quiet house.
Ooh, and which is luxurious at times.
Oh, the only, just me and Ollie. Ollie's a little demanding, I'm seeing, if you don't pay attention. But so that's been the week for me. And they get home Saturday, and so pretty busy week, but a good week for sure.
Excellent. Well, busy week around the National Hockey League. And again, we've got Sam Reinhart joining us in this episode. So let's power through the headlines, brought to you by Tim Hortons. Roll Up to Win is back with prizes to be won, including 10 new all-electric Volkswagen vehicles. How about a 2024 Tracker Targa boat and trailer? There's Princess Cruise prizes, Hilton Hotel vacations, and over 14 million Tim's prizes, of course, including coffee, donuts, Timbits, Tim's reward points, all free. For the full list of prizes and details, check it out, rolluptowin.ca. I don't think we've ever started headlines right talking about the Nashville Predators. Maybe we did when they made changes. I don't recall. But we will today, only because, and not negativity here, the Preds were on a heater, as Jack Hughes would say. They, you know, had points in 18 straight games, went 16-0-2 before they run into that juggernaut, the Arizona Coyotes, last night. 8-4 of the final in favor of the Yotes. And we'll talk about the Coyotes in just a minute. But again, what a run by Bruno and the Nashville Preds, who still have time, by the way, to catch the Winnipeg Jets in that central race.
Right. So, they say, like, when a team is in a losing streak, right before they get out of it, They lose a couple of games, but they play really well. And you can sort of see it coming. Well, the game before Arizona, the one that brought them to 16-0-2, Nashville's down 4-1 after two periods. And they against Vegas, they score three in the third, and Yossi scores in overtime, having a great year. When you escape like that a couple of times, eventually it's going to catch up to you. And they go to Arizona, and how about Logan Cooley, 19 years old, gets a hat trick, and the kid's going to be good. He's going to be good. He's a pretty slick, skilled guy. And teams like Arizona are dangerous right now. They're, you know, they don't grind anymore. They just play. You know, the pressure's off, and they've got some talented kids. How about Shane Doan's kid?
Josh,
yeah, two goals the first game, two assists the second game. Man, this league is easy. What? I hope he's saying to his dad, "Hey, Pops, why didn't you do this?" You know, like once in a while.
Always thought of Shane Doan, dad, as being kind of a smiling assassin type of guy, right? Like, I mean, he was a power forward. You know, he could be tough when he had to be tough. The nicest guy in the world. That's who he is by character off the ice. But he could flat out play. So if Josh has some of those attributes, he's got a heck of a career ahead of him.
I think I told you, Drakes, the first time I saw Shane out of his equipment, I had retired and I was broadcasting. So I go into the Coyotes room. I got a game. I don't know where. It must have been Edmonton and Phoenix at the time. And Shane's in like just his gray shorts and gray t-shirt. I'm like, the guy's as big as a freaking tank.
Enormous.
I remember twice trying to, like, you know, in however many games I played against him, trying to knock him over. Like, I had him in a position, and just, like, it was like a fly. He didn't even, because I remember it twice, and he just kind of went, you know, beat it.
Yeah.
And the guy was a tank.
I call it Sutter Strong, right? It's like that ranch, that farmer sort of strength.
Okay, but the difference is the Sutters were all pretty thin.
Yeah, yeah.
He was as wide as he was tall. Like he was a monster,
big arse.
Monstrous. Oh, yeah. Not knocking him over. No chance.
Well, again, happy for the Doan family. They're all good people. And how about Clayton Keller with a 4-point second period? You know, look, 4 points in a game isn't an oddity, especially with the better players in the sport. But 4 points in that second period, I guess, what was it, a goal? And then three first assists. Yeah. Like, that's some yeoman work there.
When he got drafted, first time I saw him, I'm like, you know what? He's kind of like a little Patrick Kane, like a younger Patrick Kane. Same sort of build, same sort of, you know, slithery style to his game. And the lousy part about the Coyotes is no matter what they do, everything gets dominated by that bloody building. And can they get the damn thing built? And so like I feel bad for those guys. Like they're in their NHL careers and none of it matters until they get the thing sorted out. And Clayton Keller's a great example of that.
We've been directed to talk about the Edmonton Oilers, so we'll do that in just a moment. But that's more of a positive thing, because I don't know if you noticed this or not, but Edmonton actually is on the move. I mean, hey, things go their way, right? They could even challenge to win the division.
Yeah,
they might win the division.
You know, like you say, you don't know if I've noticed, but they have these things that come out every morning. They're called the standings. And if you take a 30-second glance at them, you can really kind of follow who's moving up and down. And, of course, the Oilers are – it seems forever ago they fired the coach and they were, you know, plugging away. So, Vancouver's in a little bit of the hurt right now. They're not scoring. They've got, I think their last 11 games, they got 30 goals, but they've only given up 20. So they obviously miss Demko, although Casey DeSmith's been more than adequate. Yeah. They miss a healthy Lindholm and they just got Joshua back. So they've been kind of dodging some injuries here.
Yeah.
And, look, they played a hell of a game against Dallas last night. Man, that was a great, great game. And I'd say if I were teams, I'd be a little worried about Dallas. And one of the reasons is they're super balanced. They got 7 20-goal guys. But Jake Oettinger, you know, kind of stumbled through the first three quarters of the season. He's won four straight. He was awesome last night.
Yeah.
It was 1-1. He made a save on Garland that he shouldn't have made, but he did. Like he stole a save, and then Jamie Benn had a goal and an assist. He's got a six-game point streak, and big milestone for him. He passed me in points. I think he was
huge.
Oh, he was overwhelmed with emotion. I told him on the bench, and he went, "Oh yeah."
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know how he is, right? He's like, oh yeah. I'm like, yeah. I said, I bet the under that you weren't going to catch me. And he just laughed. So.
The Oilers beat the Los Angeles Kings. And of course, we're having fun at the Ray and Driggs Bureau Chief in Edmonton, Ryan Rashog's expense, because he kind of teased us a little bit pre-podcast to talk about the oil and the possibilities. Yeah. Of course, we're not going to ignore or disrespect the mighty Oilers. Winnipeg, though, right? 0-4-1 in their last five games. Now, Vegas sweeps the season series. They win 4-1 over the Jets on Thursday night. A physical playoff-style game. However, not the time of year is it for the Jets to kind of seemingly battle with momentum.
Well, for anybody, it's not. But here's the toughest part of this time of the year is there's all kinds of examples of teams playing great going into the playoffs and losing, of teams playing lousy into the playoffs and winning. The key is that you don't stress so much that you get yourself so tight that you lose your confidence. You start to think, you don't react. Like, Rick Bowness has been around long enough. Of course, he's 69 years old right now, and been coaching forever. But the coach really sets the tone of this. They've got to know when's the time to step on it, like really step on their team, kind of like Paul Maurice is doing in Florida right now, because they're struggling away too. Or is this the time to maybe lighten things up a little bit? Because the last thing you need is a stress team at this time of year, because more than playing well, playing poorly, it's you have to be comfortable in your game when the playoffs start. Because let's face it, whoever plays whoever in that first round, there's no easy outs.
No.
There's not going to be in the West for sure. If Washington makes it as the eighth seed, I mean, they're minus 30 in goals for and against on the year. I would think they would be the biggest underdog of the first round, but there are no easy series in that first round.
Well, and as is the case, from beginning, middle, end of any NHL season, if your special teams aren't firing, then you're going to go through trouble spots, right? And that's Winnipeg is 0-16 in the last four or five games. Bones post game talked about missing an open net, which could have been a game changer for the Jets against Vegas last night. That's just where they're at right now.
Well, you can win without a great power play. You can't win without a good penalty kill. And if one of those special teams is going to struggle, you'd rather it be your power play. Like I can equate it to Vancouver. I think they're now 2-for-20 on the power play. And so last night they were 0-for-3. And Dallas scored two power play goals. Game was 3-1. There you go. Finished. So, like, if your power play's not going to score, your penalty killers can't give anything up.
No. All right. Let's wrap up headlines with Sam Reinhart coming up here momentarily with the 50-goal club. Now, Reinhart's part of that, obviously. Will the 50-goal club, Ray, add a fourth and fifth member before the end of the regular season? And I'm looking directly at Nathan MacKinnon and David Pastrnak, who, as we're recording this episode, sit with 45 goals each. It's a lot of scoring in a short period of time, but I'm not counting either one of those guys out of the possibility.
Well, they got 10 games left, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
10 games?
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll both get it. They're both going to get it. That's So you're asking them from now to the end of the year to score at a 40. You're asking them to score at a 41 goal pace.
Yeah, and you're saying it's going to happen.
I'm saying
Boston has 8 games. Boston has 8
now
games.
See, now you're
yeah. See, hold
up
on.
A bit.
We're I want to make sure we get this factual
here. Yeah, it's all about mathematics, straight.
Okay, all right.
Pasta.
Oh, Colorado was 9 games. So 8 and 9.
Nate, yes. No, I think they're both going to get it. Okay. I think they're both going to get it. How about if your 450 goal or your 550 goal scorers are Matthews, McKinnon, Pastrnak?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Reinhart and Hyman. You know, you expect those first three all the time. And man, Reinhart and Hyman to get to this total is just amazing years for them.
Oh, amazing. Hold on. They both come from rich families, though, right? So,
yeah, hold on. Actually, they do. Their both parents are wealthy. And nobody
we're not
else.
Going down this.
I don't even want to start because.
No. It's no, not
I don't even want to say anything about
it. I shouldn't
have
brought it up. It was ridiculous. I will detract it. I apologize.
On many levels.
Yeah.
And it was.
Disgusting is what it is.
It really was because that. There's really nothing to say about the guy to amplify the thing. And
no.
Congrats to Zach Hyman, who more than deserves the 50 goals. And at some point when dad's not buying your skates anymore, you've got to be able to play. Right.
And he's proven that for many years.
I don't think I haven't met one general manager or coach in the NHL in junior hockey. Let me back up to that said, oh yeah, I got to put that guy in the power play because his dad's got a big construction company. Mm. They don't give a damn. Like no. You either play or you don't. And there's a certain point that you're either good enough or you're not.
Agreed. All right. Those are your headlines. Thank you to our friends at Tim Hortons.
Ready to roll? All right. Let's roll.
Whoa, I'm rolling in it.
Play the 60th anniversary edition of Roll Up to Win on the Tim's app today.
Our interviews on Ray and Driggs brought to us by Canadian Club Whiskey. The first release of the CC Invitation Series is out there. It's the CC 15-year-old Sherry Cask, signature CC Classic 12-year-old whiskey finished with a secondary aging in Oloroso Sherry Casks. All right, well, Sam Reinhart and the Florida Panthers clinched a playoff spot Thursday night despite the loss to the Islanders. Sam's still kind enough to join us here on the Rain Rigs podcast. Hey, Sam, what's the vibe like around the Florida Panthers right now? I mean, you've got inside, 10 games remaining in the regular season. The playoffs are looming. Is it pretty much playoff mode for everybody?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're trying to make the most out of the situation we're in. We're trying to learn from it. We picked up a few more losses as of late. We're trying to kind of manage it and get back to the details in our game. Because it's some really small details that are kind of leading to it. So we're trying to learn from it. We're trying to put a positive spin on it. And it's a little bit different position from the last year. You got to take advantage of it any way you can.
Yeah. So last year, Sam, you guys are like clawing and scratching to get in, and every game is so important. And of course, this year you've already clinched. For a team like yours that plays so hard and so physically, it's got to be hard to be at that level all the time, no?
I think so. I think it's an easier game when, everyone's playing the same way. There's less space for the other team. You know, the puck a little bit more. It's less tiring. You know, the puck, you guys know. It's definitely taxing. So, I think we've kind of been through spurts like this in the past, and then we've been able to kind of, get through it, get our energy back, and go on a run. And that's kind of where our mindset is. And that's what we're trying to get back to. We're trying to get as fresh as we possibly can for, hopefully, which is a good run. And we're working it day by day. We're trying to, fine tune our game, get it back to where we feel comfortable going into playoffs. That's the challenge we have the next week or two.
What was the thing you learned the most about playing as long as you guys did last year? Like, what did you think you knew? And then you went, holy, that was way different.
There's a lot that goes into it. There's a tremendous amount of luck. You look at a handful of games, you could be done in 5 minutes, or you could be done in 2 months. It's kind of the reality of it. So you got to be able to handle that. You got to be able to stick with it, be composed through it. I think the biggest takeaway is the confidence you gain. You kind of see yourself there, not having gone through it, not having kind of made it all the way to the end, obviously to achieve our goal. But without being there, you don't really know if your group has what it takes. If you have what it takes, I think you kind of learn. You see yourself there, and you kind of have that belief that, yeah, you guys can do it. We can do it. And that's kind of what we've taken off, from that a little bit of success last year, and we kind of carried it over this year.
Part of the carryover was you got off to an amazing start. Like you were out of the gate quick and the goals started to come right away. And you've mentioned in the past, maybe you could tell us about, in this past year about, how your training changed, how your, because you played so long and, you didn't train the same way 1 year to the next as you did this year.
Yeah, well, I think it's last summer. Obviously, did less. It's more than that. I think it's the 8-9 years of taking advantage of some a lot of gym time, a lot of off ice time that have kind of allowed me to do less last year. It's easy to say I did less and I feel better. I think it's a culmination of a lot of hard work,
right?
Some fine tuning this past summer, being on the ice all the way to June allowed me to be off the ice a little bit more, which I prefer. My body handles it better. They've been able to be pretty healthy doing that. I think everything just kind of feels better on the ice coming back when you don't have to skate as much because you've been going hard until mid June. I think the year before, it took me a long time to kind of get the hands back, to feel good and get that confidence going again. So I was able to ride it and it took less time this year.
Do you have a bigger car to carry your bag around, or do you still have that little that little sports car with your bag in the passenger seat sitting straight up?
No, that was a perfect car. I just got rid of it.
That was the best, the best thing. Like, that bag fit like a passenger in your car. It was unreal.
Old retro Flames bag. Yeah, you had to fold everything nicely.
That's terrific. 50-plus goals. Who knows where it's going to end for you this regular season. Paul Maurice, maybe a little less happy last night, but earlier this week he was praising the season that you have, and he said, quote, "He never cheats the game, not once. He's really good, unless you're trying to sign him as a free agent, in which case there's a little attitude problem and he's hard to deal with." So, I mean, obviously he's saying that in jest, tongue-in-cheek. I mean, does that kind of speak to the environment? I mean, it's business when there's business that needs to be done, but there's also a high level of appreciation with guys like you bring to the Florida Panthers on a nightly basis.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of the way we're trying to play. You got your leaders playing defensive first, and that's kind of where a lot of our offense is created. You get back over pucks, and that's where that gap's created. That's where the skill kind of comes out. So, I think it's just the way I prefer to play, and fits in well with our teams, what we're trying to execute on a nightly basis.
Is it impossible not to think about what might be in front of you? You're not looking at a 2-year deal worth $3 million a year. Like, is everyone says, oh, leave it, think about it later. Like, wouldn't that be impossible to do?
Short term deals are nothing new to me. Obviously, I'm excited about the possibility of a long term deal. you know, it's been pretty easy this year. You know, I think when you get off to a good start, it kind of takes all that pressure off. Obviously, the position we're in, what we're trying to accomplish, it allows me to not really think about it. I don't really think too far in the future, never really have. I think it's a lot of the relationship I have with people in this organization too. And, you know, I think that's mutual, and we've got a comfortable understanding of where we're at and what our ultimate goal is this year. And, you know, that's just where we are week to week right now. And, I've got all the comfort in the world, having to go that way.
Yeah. And that matters, doesn't it, Sam? Like, I mean, market value is one thing when you're pending unrestricted free agent, but searching for the perfect fit or a change for the sake of a financial change doesn't always work out when, man, you have to feel pretty good of your situation right now. And again, the fit that you have in Florida.
Absolutely. It's been awesome. I mean, life's good. No complaints with the family down here. So, you know, like I said, there's a lot of other things right now that I'm able to focus on and that take way more of my time and energy than what's going on. And you know, I've got the belief that it's all going to work itself out in the end. And, you know, just trying to stay in the present.
When did you think 50 goals was possible this year?
Probably around the All-Star game, you start to think of it a little bit more that it's a possibility. Certainly not any time in my life before that, but it's nice to have it all the way now.
Crazy number, isn't it? When you think about it,
yeah, it's when you start getting the text and you start realizing how few guys are in it. It's pretty cool.
Hey, Sam, you grew up in a real athletic family. You know, your dad was a fantastic player. For those listening that don't know, Paul was an outstanding offensive defenseman, was a centerman at one point, could play forward and defense. But your brothers, Max and Griff, NHL drafts as well. Tell me a little bit about you guys must have competed in everything, right? Like, you guys are all great athletes, but really good golfers and tennis players, but you guys must have battled at just about everything, no?
Yeah, ironically, hockey was probably the least we battled at with each other. You know, I think supported each other that much more. I think everything else we played, whether it's tennis, ping pong, you know, the full contact soccer in the backyard with our three boys. you know, all those things, golf especially, that's where the competitive side comes up and you want to beat each other. But from a hockey standpoint, it was all support, it was all helping each other out and ultimately being each other's biggest fans.
In the basement, would they stick you in net? I mean, you're the youngest, right? Like, isn't that where the little guy goes all the time?
Yeah, I think they had my car seat up in the playroom shooting hospital, so my parents lost me for a little bit. That's probably why I'm not a goalie.
That would be a good choice. Who the hell wants to do that, man?
No, not at all. Does it matter to you, Sam? I mean, again, if we go back to the Florida Panthers, we in the collective media, you know, we'll look at matchups and how things might change in the conference standings, and this team should do well against that team. I mean, from a player perspective, given the success that you guys had last year in getting the Stanley Cup final, does it even matter a little bit who you play in round one?
I mean, probably a little bit. I wouldn't say we're too focused on it right now. Like I said, you can easily get carried away with it. Start seeing. I mean, the Eastern Conference, everything's so close, especially at the top right now. You're just trying to ride that wave. It almost feels like a little bit of that playoff wave. Someday you come to the rink and you feel you're you're the best team in the world, no one can beat you on any given day, then the next day you're trying to get back to that feeling. So you're just trying to manage that. We're trying to find our game a little bit again here too. You know, a lot of it's just getting back in the win column, getting that confidence back in here. And getting our game going again.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate you taking the time. Obviously, you guys are headed in a better direction. I don't think that's going to be in question or in doubt as we close toward the end of the regular season. So thanks again, Sam, and all the best to the Panthers.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. Good luck.
Oh, there we go. One of the good guys in the National Hockey League having a great year. Let's see what the Florida Panthers can do with the playoffs now right around the corner. Ask Ray and Dregs anything, a quick one here, Ray. And if you're interested, you can send us your questions on X, Instagram, at Ray and Dregs, on the website, rayanddregs.com. By the way, we're going to do this more close in the FootJoy apparel in another week or so, Ray. But a shout out to Mitch Dawson, our good friends at FootJoy, everybody under the Titleist golf umbrella, because some of the slim collection is making its way our way. So, let's just dedicate the Ask Ray and Dregs Anything, this one particular question, to our good pals at FootJoy. So, it's Joe from Cleveland, formerly of Montreal. And maybe you kind of alluded to this a little bit in the comment on Zach Hyman, which I didn't mean to bring up, but I accidentally did, and then we kind of skirted through it. So anyway, Joe's got a 9-year-old son. He's a goaltender. Right. Thinks he's probably the best in the league. His current minor hockey organization is in turmoil. Families are leaving, coaches jumping ship, all of that. So for the good of his development, they've decided to move to another team with better coaching and deeper resources. So Joe is asking both of us, have either of you had to make such a change, and how did it go? And any suggestions on how to help Joe's son, 9-year-old son, deal with all of the changes?
Well, how do you deal with the change? Well, first of all, no, I haven't. We didn't, with Matt and Landon, didn't have to deal with that in the hockey world. And with Riley and Reese, the only time they changed teams was when we moved. So no, I don't personally have any Dregs. I don't know if you do. As far as helping your 9-year-old son, get him to the rink on time, support him, give him the best opportunity you can to be in the best place for him. Make sure the coaches have the kids' best interests at heart, not coaching for themselves to try and advance on a ladder and your kid is just a speed bump on the way. And make sure that you do everything you can that he loves the game. And if all those things come into place, which basically is support, then it's up to him. You can do whatever you want, but if your son's a goalie, he's the only one that can stop the puck. You can't. And that's, at the end of the day, if he loves the game, he will work at it. Yeah. If he doesn't love it, the work is going to be work, and he's not going to continue at some point.
Yeah, I mean, kids adapt quickly, right? I guess the only thing for me, Mason and Katie both played hockey. Both were fortunate enough to be in programs in Whitby where they were playing with their friends. So they were surrounded there by their buddies all the way up to, you know, high-level minor hockey. And really, it only started to get a little snarly at the Ontario Junior Hockey League level for Mason. But that's junior hockey, right? I mean, we're not talking about 9-year-olds at that point. So just make sure that the little guy's having fun, right? That's all that matters at this age and pretty much at any age of.
Well, I would say there are no prospects at age 9.
No.
Like there are no scouts scouting 9-year-olds. Make sure that you do everything you can so that they can love the game. Put them in the best place you can with your spidey senses, with your. Pay attention to what everybody else is saying about the program. Put them in the best place you can. And then make sure you do everything to support and help grow his love for the game. Because that's the only way a kid is going to get better.
Agreed. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the note, the question, and by the way, huge fan. Thanks for the best hockey podcast out there.
Well, thank you, Joe, and all the best to your little guy. Yeah. And to you. Enjoy it. The years go fast.
Man, they go by quick. So do long weekends, and this is Easter long weekend, so you know it's been a quiet house for the better part of the week, but is it a quiet weekend, or do you have some festivities lined up?
Well, it's a little early here. What is it? Just after 9:30 here.
Yeah.
So I'm a little early yet, but I'd say by 11, I'm going to be at the range today.
Oh, good for you.
And then I'll be at home this weekend. I got games in Vegas and Arizona with the Canucks next week. And then I'm going to play a round of golf next Thursday in Arizona.
Of course you are. Why wouldn't you?
With a couple of guys that are so much better than me that I can't wait to play. And Dan Murphy and I are going to play with these two other schleps. And that'll blow off the next week. I mean, we'll be busy, but nothing too strenuous. But look forward to everybody getting home and the quiet house will be mayhem again.
It will be, no doubt about that. Well, I'll be traveling, so won't connect with you on Tuesday. Instead, it sounds like Ryan Rashog is going to
pinch really
hit on Tuesday in the next episode of the Ray and Driggs and Ryan.
What podcast. A pinch hitter you've collaborated with here. Oh, that's pretty good.
You know, I hope at some point he either begins, middle, ends with, "For ice chips, I'm Ryan Rashog." That will make my week.
That joke is cool. You've been saying that for 15 years. You've been saying
and because there's no way he would say, you know, I'm in my studio right in front of the biggest collection of paint in the world. Like, there's no way he would do that.
Okay, so that save that for the pod.
Never get old. That's in the Hall of Fame. That
you guys
never get old.
New material on me. It's getting old.
Okay, that's fine. Bring it up on Tuesday.
You know what, Drakes? I mean, we're looking for new material. Maybe we got video of a golf swing of his or something.
Somebody needs to clean their garage. I know that. That garage would drive Ray Ferraro bonkers.
Oh, you can only walk by the mess so much.
All right. Well, have a good weekend. And I look forward to hearing the next episode, watching and checking in with you later next week.
Well, enjoy Kelowna. Have a good trip. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes. And thank you to our sponsors who continue to support Ray and Driggs and Ryan and make this podcast possible. Our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, and of course, Tim Hortons. Until next time, stay safe, everybody.